How are you guys doing? No one's good. All right. You guys good? But it was good. Hey, do you guys have a Bible with you? You guys have a Bible with you? If you guys have a phone, you guys can use that as well. We're going to be looking at a particular passage in the Bible. It's Psalm chapter 23. Psalm chapter 23. And we're going to go, it's like the most famous passage. Psalm chapter 23. And I'm going to go ahead and read it to you. And then after, we're going to pray, and then we're going to give some quick observations, and we're going to have an awesome Sunday, yeah? All right, so Psalm chapter 23, and this is what verse 1 of Psalm 23 tells us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Such a good passage. This morning, I want to take the next 35 minutes or so, and I want to talk about this idea, very simple idea, the Good Shepherd. And I want to remind you the big idea as to why we do what we do, why we get together on Sunday mornings. It's not to think more about ourselves, but it's to think more about God. For it is in him that we find the power to grow, to change, and to heal. So wherever you find yourself in this journey called life, I believe this message will do you well. It will give you a sneak peek as to what life with Jesus can look like. For those of you who have been walking with Jesus for a while, I believe this as well is going to encourage you in your life right now. So would you guys pray with me, and then we're going to jump right into it. Jesus, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you that we can come here together and open up the Bible. I pray that you speak to us. Would you encounter us this moment? Would you speak into our ear and just let us know that you are with us in the hard moments of life, in the good moments of life? Jesus, would you remind us this morning how much you love us? And Jesus, as a church, we pray this together. Would you equip the Rams to take it this year? And we all agree to this as a church. Amen. Psalm chapter 20. Okay, before that, I wasn't going to share this story, but we're gonna do it. I got to be honest with you. It's a confession. And I don't know how many of you would be like, I'm never coming back to this church. I hate it. I'm not good with dogs. Just throwing that out there. I love dogs. I think they're cute. My family has a reputation, for those of you who know me, our family has a reputation of, I think, since I was born till this day, I think we've had like 8 dogs. we get a dog, and every time we're like, yo, we're going to, you know, this time we're going to take care of it. This time we're going to give it the attention it needs. And then before you know it, mom and dad are like, all right, we're getting rid of the dog. About 3 years ago, I was on Facebook and I run into this post. It was my friend Andrew, and Andrew was selling this dog. It was a half pit bull, half husky. And you can just imagine how cute this puppy was. And I was like, oh my goodness, we need this dog in the house right now. So I sent a picture to Denise. I was like, yo, Denise, like, I sold it to her. I was like, yo, check this dog out. She's like, oh, my God, we need that dog. We want that dog. Tell mom, let's get the dog. Now, the only problem with this is that my mom hates dogs. Please pray for her. My mom doesn't like dogs in the house. She's like, no, the dog is staying outside. But, like, me and Denise, no, the dog, we're going to train the dog. We're going to take care of the dog. Don't even worry about it. So we sold it to my mom, so much so that she's like, all right, go pick up the dog. I was like, oh, the only thing, it's $250. The dog is worth $250. And please pray for me as well, because I sold it so well that Denise and my mom split the cost for that dog. So I take the $250, I show up to my friend's house, I buy this dog, I bring this dog back home. And I don't know why Denise, she thought it would be a good idea to pick a fight with me. She was like, this is my dog. I was like, who do you think you are? This is my dog. She's like, no, because the dog is cute, right? No, this is my dog. This is my dog. I was like, you're tripping. This is my dog. She's like, when I get married, I'm taking this dog with me. I was like, shoot. No, you're not. Fast forward. So me and Denise, and we're kind of obsessed with this dog for like a month. Now, no one told me this dog would grow so quick. I feel like I'm a dad. Like, no one told me she would. Bella. Her name was Bella. Please pray for Bella wherever she finds herself. Spoiler alert. No one told me Bella would grow so fast. No one told me Bella would make so much mess. No one told me Bella would poop so much. I was like, dang, is she a human? You know what I mean? She was big. And I remember my parents, you know, they were like, David, go pick up the poop. And I was like, it's not my dog, it's Denise's dog, right? She wants the dog. Hey, Denise, go pick up the poop from your dog. She, out of nowhere, from that day forward, she denies the fact that she ever claimed that dog. No, it's not my dog, it's your dog. You wanted the dog. I was like, dude, you wanted to take the dog home, like when you got married. And eventually my parents were like, all right, beautiful dog. We love the dog, but the dog's got to go. And I was thinking about this week. I was thinking about my dog. I was praying for my dog. And this thought crossed my mind. And it was like, God was like, yo, like, aren't you so happy that I'm not like you? And I was like, heck yeah. Because I don't know about you, but I knowing my life, cute and everything, I make a mess. Let me put it this way. I poop all over the place. And I'm so glad that in those moments, God's not like, well, when you were well put together, when you look nice, when you weren't like too much, I loved you and I was obsessed over you. But the moment you started doing things that I really didn't, like the moment you started making a mess out of your life, then that's when I'm like, you know what, You're really not mine, and I really don't want you, and let's just kick you out of this house. And I'm so glad God is not like that. And as I was reading Psalm 23 is one of these passages that really God has used in my life. Through the good moments of my life, God has encouraged me through this passage. Through the bad moments of my life, God has brought me back to himself using this passage. So what we just read in Psalm 23, we read, it's based off this metaphor of a sheep and a shepherd. In the Bible, Jesus, he compares our nature to that of a sheep. And I don't know if you know anything about sheep, but sheep are so prone to wander. Sheep are so prone to fear. Sheep without a shepherd are helpless. Sheep, don't get offended, sheep are pretty dumb. They're pretty stubborn. Sheep get lost. They're not the brightest animals out there. They get distracted so easily. They are so vulnerable and they are so fragile. And the Bible mentions sheep 400 times, and most of which it's in reference to the human nature. The Bible tells us that we are like sheep. And now it's interesting because back in Jesus' time, the religious people, the pastors of the day, they would come to Jesus and they would say, Jesus, why are you doing what you do? Why are you hanging out with the people you hang out with? And Jesus, I love Jesus because Jesus, he responds this way. It's because they are like sheep without a shepherd. And in John chapter 10, Jesus declares this, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And that's good news for you and for me today, because just like sheep, we're so prone to wander. Just like sheep, we're so prone to drift away from our shepherd. But the good shepherd, he knows how to bring us in. The good shepherd knows how to solve and how to satisfy the tendencies and the desires of our heart, of our life, and of our soul. So that's good news. But before we start, we need to understand this idea of a shepherd. And trust me, we're going to get to Psalm 23, okay? This idea of a shepherd. When you think of a shepherd nowadays, you think of a guy on a four-wheeler. Perhaps a guy on a helicopter or a guy on a horse kind of just bringing the sheep together, kind of herding the sheep. Hey, like, move forward, right? But back in the day, being a shepherd was not just like a 9-to-5 job. being a shepherd, it was a whole lifestyle. Being a shepherd, right? Let me put it this way for you. King David, the author of this passage, for many, many years before he was a king, he was a shepherd. And during those years of him being a shepherd, he probably was more close to his sheep than he was to other people. Like, it's kind of weird, but he would talk to his sheep more than he would talk to regular people. He was so involved in their lives, meaning he like would name the sheep, like that's Paco, that's Eliel, hola. You know what I mean? And he would be like, well, this sheep, like he knew them that well that this sheep right here, this one's stubborn. And this one over here, she doesn't really eat too much. And this one over here is really scared. And this one over here has, and that one over, the shepherd was so involved in their lives. The shepherd would literally do life with the sheep. The shepherd would sleep around the sheep during the night. He would go around checking the sheep, making sure they were good. It wasn't just a 9-to-5 job. Being a shepherd was a lifestyle. And I think it's so beautiful that Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Such an intimate relationship. I care for you. I am with you. I know you by name. I know your personality. I know who you are. And I love you that way. And many scholars believe that Psalm 23 is the most intimate passage in all the Bible. Many people believe that Psalm 23 is the best and most beautiful picture of this idea, which is the theme of the Bible, God with us. So I want to show you four things in Psalm 23 that will answer the question, why in the world do I want a good shepherd? Four things as to why we benefit from having a good shepherd, and I think it's going to encourage you. Psalm 23 starts like this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. How do I benefit from having a good shepherd? Number one, he knows exactly what my soul wants. He knows exactly what my soul needs. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Another translation, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And just like sheep, I think it's so easy for us to wander away. It's so easy for us to get distracted. It's so easy, and the reason why I believe so many of us wander in this life, it's because we want. I think we wander in this life because we convince ourselves that there is more. And we wander because we desire more things, and we wander because it's in our nature, it's who we are. We are like sheep who have gone astray. And let me explain to you the rhythm and the life of a sheep, all right? Like some of you will be like, I want the life of the sheep. The sheep eats for 7 hours a day, and the rest of the time they just basically sleep. It's really nice, right? No responsibilities, and food is awesome, and sleep. Who doesn't love sleep? So let me show you what the rhythm of a sheep, his regular Tuesday, average Tuesday looks like. He wakes up. He eats, and he moves. Takes a nap. Wakes up. He eats, and he moves. He moves, and then he eats. He moves on to the next. He eats and then falls asleep. Wakes up on Wednesday. Wake up, eat, move, take a nap. Wake up, eat, move. And if we're not very careful, I think we can live our whole life like that. I want more. And we get it. Okay, next thing. I want this. We get it. All right, next thing. I want this. And then you get it, and you're like, well, it really wasn't what I thought it was going to be. So I want to move on to the next thing. We get to this next. We can live our whole life of I want, and I want, and I want, and I get, and I get. And time after time, life shows you that the very next thing you want will not satisfy your life. So we can live a whole life of wake up, want, get, move. Want, get, move. Bro, how you doing? Well, you know, I'm good. I'm all right, but you know, like next week, I'm going to have this big business meeting. Next week comes around. Bro, how you doing? How was that meeting? Well, you know, I'm all right. It really wasn't what I thought it was going to be, but it's all good. In a couple of months, I'm going to, and it almost seems like we can live our whole lives as if it's just on the next hill. And we get to that hill, and we're like, you know what? From far, it looked good, and now that I'm here, it's the next one. And it's the next one. And then the promotion comes. I can do better. And then the next thing comes. And we can spend our whole lives like sheep. Wake up, want, get, and move to the next thing. And David, King David, he's writing this. He's saying, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. I don't have to wander and move on to the next big thing because the Lord is my shepherd. In verse 2, he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. That Hebrew phrase, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, can be translated this way. The shepherd takes his sheep to this pasture, this big, beautiful pasture the sheep never knew existed. And when the sheep get to this pasture, they're like, are you freaking kidding me? There is a pasture that is just like this? Are you kidding me? My shepherd is that good that he's bringing me to this beautiful pasture? And then you can just imagine the sheep talking to each other, bro. Dang, this is so good. Do you want to move on to the next one? And the sheep's like, bro, you tripping. I'm chilling here for the rest of my life. Because this pasture is like one I've never seen before. And David is saying, hey, the Lord is that good that I stopped searching for the very next big thing because God led me into this pasture. He led me into this life where we were in a relationship where he filled my void, this void in my soul, in my heart, because he knows exactly what my soul needs. And I got to this pasture and I say, I don't have to wander anymore. I don't have to want anymore. I don't need nothing else because he's that good and he leads me. He knows exactly what my soul needs. And perhaps you're thinking like, oh yeah, but that was like 4,000 years ago, David. I want to tell you who David was. David, he was a warrior. David, he was one of the best songwriters, one of the best poets. He was an author. He had all the wealth the world could offer. He had a whole kingdom to his disposal. He was a man who experienced the finer things in life. And yet David gets to a point in his life where he says, God is that good that I stop searching and seeking these things. Why? Because he is my shepherd. And I don't have to seek these things. He's so good that I like nothing. That's verse 1. In his kindness, in his love, he led me to this pasture that I didn't even know existed, verse 2. And in this pasture, verse 3, he restores my soul. He knows exactly what my soul has been longing for. And maybe, perhaps, maybe, just maybe, you're going through like a hard season, a difficult moment. And maybe, perhaps, what your soul needs right now is still waters. Maybe perhaps what your soul needs right now is peace. Maybe perhaps what your soul needs right now is comfort. Psalm 23 is a promise that you can hold on to because verse 3 tells us that he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And what does this tell us? That every difficult thing that happens in life has two purposes. And number one, it brings God glory. And David, what in the world did you mean? You see, in these difficult seasons of life, when you look up, in these moments when life is falling apart and you look up and you say, yes, what I am going through, I'm not going to ignore it. What I am going through hurts like hell. And it hurts. But I'm going to look up because I know that my Bible tells me that God is close to the brokenhearted. So I'm going to lift my eyes up. And you know what that does to people around your life? They're like, yo, what's up with this person? How in the world their life is falling apart? How are they looking? They must have a big God. That life looks so bad, but yet they still have this faith to look up and say that my Bible tells me that God is close to the brokenhearted. And in that, God is glorified. People look up. And the second thing is, it serves for our good. Romans 8:28 tells us that all things work together for the good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purposes. And this phrase, he restores my soul, in verse 3 is very interesting. It could be translated to he repairs my soul. And the message of Psalm 23, I don't know if you've caught it so far, it's not of what I can do for my shepherd. Psalm 23 is not, yo, do this and yo, get that. Psalm 23 is not, do this so the shepherd loves you. No, Psalm 23, the whole story of Psalm 23 is not that you have to get your life together, not that you have to pretend that everything is okay, not that you have to act like, okay, like I got it all and you don't have to act strong. Psalm 23, the message of Psalm 23 is that when I am brokenhearted, God comforts me. When I am despaired, God gives me hope. When I am weak, God gives me strength. And when I fall, he picks me up. And that is the message of Psalm 23. Not that I'm going to fix my life and I'm just going to pretend like it's all good. No. It's realizing the hurt and saying, this hurts, but I know God's going to restore me. Why? Because he restores my soul. He renews my heart. He heals my heart. He brings comfort. And that is the message of the whole Bible. Not what you can do for God, but what God can do for you, not just in this life, but in the next one. So how do I benefit from having a good shepherd? Number one, he knows exactly what my soul needs. But number two, let's move. He walks with me through every season of life. And look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now, if we're going to be completely honest, class participation. Let me see if your hand, if you have gone through a very hard moment in your life. First one to raise my hand. Okay, everyone look around. Keep your hands okay, keep your hands up. Everyone look around. Realize, okay, hands down, cool. Realize that you are not the only one who is going through a hard season or have gone through something. Valleys are a part of life. I grew up in church and people are like, yo, if you're going through a hard moment in life, it's because you walked away from God. Like, oh, bro, it's, you know, just you just got to get your life right. And, you know, life is going to, you know, it's going to turn out well. But what I read in the Bible is that at times the way of the righteous will lead you through the way of the valley. The valley is a part of the human experience. And I don't know if you realize, if you've been there, you've know this, that the valley is dark. The valley is lonely. The valley is cold. And the Christian life is not all mountaintop experiences and it's all good and, you know, God, Jesus, you need to love him. There are some moments where you're going to come to a valley. And the valley, it's a place where there are mountains and hills surrounding it. The valley represents a season in your life where you lose vision, where you can't see past what's surrounding you. It's a place where you lose vision. It's a place where you lose hope because you can't see past this thing. That's what the valley represents. And David is saying, I'm going to walk through some valleys. And this valley may feel like death, but you know what? I'm not going to be afraid. Why? Because you are with me. Because you are with me. Because the good shepherd is walking alongside of me. See, as Christians, we don't hold on to the idea that it's always going to be nice and pretty, but we hold on to this truth and this promise that God says here in Psalm 23, when you walk through the hardest moments of your life, I'm not the light at the end of the tunnel. No, I am with you every step of the way. And in those moments where you feel like God is not doing anything in your life, it's when God is doing the most powerful thing in your life. He's working in your heart. He's molding you. He's making you more like Jesus. And that's why James, in his story, Jesus says, I will rejoice in suffering. Jesus said this in John 16:33. I have told you these things in this world so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have tribulations. You will have troubles. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. Jesus is telling his disciples, hey guys, look at me. So life is going to get hard. Life, there will be moments where it's bad. Jesus saying this to his disciples. There's going to be moments where you're going to cry. There's going to be moments where you will feel this deep pain inside your heart. There's going to be moments where you are going to get sick. There's going to be moments where people you love will die. It's going to be hard, guys. And you're going to go through some valleys, but take heart. Don't lose hope. Why? And here's the promise. Because I'm here. Because I'm with you. Because you never left the palm of my hand. Because I have overcome the world. And I need someone to hear this, that the valley you're going through right now is not your permanent destination. It's not where you're going to be the rest of your life. Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through, doesn't mean even though I stay and live in the valley of shadow of death, you're with me. No, it's not what it says. It doesn't say even though when I'm in this hard season and I'm going to chill here for the, no. It said even though I walk through, it's meaning I'm going forward. I'm walking through this thing. I'm not going to stay here. I'm moving forward. And can I encourage you, if you can't run through this season, walk. And if you can't walk, at least crawl or try to stumble forward. But you can't stay in this valley. You got to move forward. And it's not about how strong you are. And it's about me taking the next big step. No, it's about Jesus helping you. Jesus, like, taking that step with you. And how does that happen? By you realizing that the Good Shepherd has never left your side. That he is right there, right next to you. And when you hear a voice telling you, you are alone. You're doing this by yourself. You're not going to make it. Ignore that, because that's not the voice of your shepherd. The voice of your shepherd sounds like this, Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not to be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Bless you. Yes, in this world, I'm going to go through some valleys, but my shepherd is with me. So how do I benefit from having a good shepherd? That was number two. He walks with me through every season of life. And number three, I love this one. How do I benefit from having a good shepherd? He protects me. Number three, he protects me. Look at the second part of verse four. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, I told you I grew up around church. And if you grew up around church, you know there are some crazy ideas out there. We went to the same church, yay. There are some crazy ideas out there. One of these crazy ideas, honestly, for the longest time, I believed it. I was like, oh, dang it. So many religious circles take Psalm chapter 23, verse 4, and they say, you know, God has this rod. You better behave, because he's going to use that rod on you. You better not make any dumb decisions. Get your life together. God has this rod. He's going to hit you to get you back on path. I grew up believing this. I was like, no. And it wasn't this relationship with God that I'd enjoyed. It was more based off fear. I'm not going to do this because I don't want God to like take the rod and like just swing at me. And David, how do I know that this, yes, the Bible talks about discipline, and yes, whom God loves, he chastens. Yes, I get it. But this passage specifically is not talking about correction. It's saying, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And how do I know it's talking about comfort and not correction? Because I've never met one person in my life that after they get a whooping, they're like, I just feel so good right now. I've never met a person. And if that's you, like, dude, you're weird, bro, change. Abusive relationships, huh? I've never met someone that's like, whack. Like, oh, so good. Let's run that thing again. Like, no. So your rod and your staff, they comfort me. But David, if this rod isn't for me, then who is it for? See, this rod's not for you. This rod is for your enemies. And that's how that brings you comfort. That the shepherd back in the day, whenever there was an animal, whenever the sheep were in danger, the shepherd got this rod. And he would, sorry for this word, we can probably cut it, but he would beat the crap out of your enemy. And the sheep would huddle behind the shepherd and they would feel safe. Because the shepherd would do whatever it took to protect his sheep. And Jesus in the New Testament is like, I'm the good shepherd and I will lay down my life for my sheep. And David, he was a shepherd and he killed a lion, he killed a bear. How and why? He's protecting his sheep. And that's how his rod comforts you. It's not because it's for you. God's not here to like destroy you, and God's not here because he wants to hurt you. No, God wants to protect you. And yes, he has a rod, and yes, he has a staff. Now, I know in culture, like we've seen pictures, and there's like, I didn't bring a picture, but you know the staff, it looks like kind of like an umbrella upside down, right? We see them around Christmas, right? So the staff, he has the staff and he has the rod. The rod is for your enemy. Now, the staff has this little hook on the top. Now, this little hook was used to bring the sheep in. It was to keep the sheep safe. Whenever the sheep was about to fall over a cliff, shepherd brings them in. Whenever the sheep was about to like fall into the river, the shepherd would bring it in. Whenever the sheep would go far off, the shepherd would bring it in. And yeah, at times it's so easy to confuse God's staff with God's rod. But God's not mad at you and God's not using his wrath to bring you to him. That all was poured out on Jesus on the cross, on the finished work of Jesus. The wrath of God was poured on his son, Jesus, so that today you and I could be brought closer to God with his staff. And yes, at times it will be uncomfortable. And yes, at times it will not be convenient. But the purpose of God bringing you with that staff closer to himself is so that you will not perish. It's Jesus saving you from you, literally. And I don't know about you, but so many times God saved me from me. Where I was going to make these decisions, and this is what I want, this is what I'm going to do. And God's like, all right, let's bring you closer. Let's bring you closer. And the fourth and last one here, how do I benefit from having a good shepherd? It's because he hosts me. Because my shepherd hosts me. Look at verse 5, and we're coming to a close. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Now, there's a change. I don't know if you noticed that we go from, like, God's the good shepherd, sheep, shepherd relationship. But now we come into this place where it's like God is hosting us. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. What is happening here? David is saying, the good shepherd not only knows what your soul is craving for, the good shepherd not only walks with you through every season of life, the good shepherd not only protects me, but the good shepherd is also my great host. Three special things that are happening at the Lord's table. Three things. The first one that we saw is he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This speaks of a warrior having a banquet. In antiquity, in ancient times, when David was around, David's writing this, in his time, whenever they went into war and they won, what they would do is they would bring the enemy tied up. They tie this enemy to a pole. And then they'd set up a table. And they'd have a whole banquet in front of their enemies. It was a way to tell these people, we beat you in your face. And he's saying, the Lord prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. What does this mean for us, 2019? What does this mean for us? That what is making you cry today, what is hurting you right now, there will come a point, there will come a moment where you will look at it and you will say, in your face. There will come a moment where God will prepare a table before you, and the very thing that was hurting you will be tied up, and you're going to say, where you at now, bro? Come at me. He prepares a table before. That's good stuff right there. The second thing is he anoints my head with oil. And this speaks of God enabling us to do what he's called us to do. Remember, yes, at one point you're going to go through the valley. You're going to go through a place where you lose vision. Right? We talked about this. You're going to go through some valleys. You're going to go through a place where you lose vision. You're going to go through a place where you lose hope. And in this table, the Lord is saying, hey, I'm recommissioning you. The oil in the Bible speaks of anointing. It speaks of calling. And God is saying, yes, you went through some valleys. Yes, you lost your vision. But right at my table that I prepare for you, I give you your calling back. I expand your vision. And I pour oil on your head, meaning I equip you for whatever I've called you to do. In this world, we are being hosted by God. And God prepares a table for us, and whatever he calls you to do, you better believe he equips you to finish and do that. And then the third thing here is my cup overflows, and this speaks of a feast. Speaks of celebration, and at the Lord's table, the Bible tells us that our lament is going to turn into joy, that the best days are not behind you, that the best days are in front of you. Proverbs 30, verse 5, weeping may tarry through the night, but joy comes in the morning. This is all that happens at the Lord's table. In your face, I'm equipped and I'm going to rejoice. See, this is who our good shepherd is. And none of this has to do with what I did for the shepherd to love me. None of this has to do with what I did so I could receive all this. The story of Psalm 23 in the whole Bible is what God, the good shepherd, has done for us, and this is the gospel, my friends. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for his sheep. You see, this is the unconditional love of God. This is the love of God, that he prepares a place for you. He seats you at this table. And I don't know about you, but for me, after reading Psalm 23, I'm like, dang, is there really a God out there that is that good? Is there really a shepherd out there that loves me that much? And David is like, yep. And to top it all off, it's like almost the cherry on the top. He adds verse 6. He's like, if that wasn't enough, guys, check this out. Cherry on the top. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I'm done with this. David is saying, if that wasn't enough, the steadfast love of God chases me all the days of my life. Same verse, but in the Message version. I love it. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I am back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. See, that word chase, it speaks of the language of an animal chasing down his prey. God chases us. It's that of an animal chasing down its prey, and you better believe that God is on the hunt to love you. His love chases me. God is on the hunt to love you. If you leave, he's going with you. If you get lost, he's gonna go find you. You see, that's why we exist as a church. That's why we exist as a church. Literally. We can't chase people down. We can't. Weird, we'll go to jail. But what we can do is we can tell the world of a God that is so passionately in love with them. We can tell the world about a God that is chasing them down, a God that is hunting them down to love them. That's who God is. He is the good shepherd. He follows us. He's here hosting us here right now. He's preparing a place. And the band can join me. As some of you know, part of my story, I went through some of the hardest. At a very young age, I was exposed and to a lot of things I really don't wish would happen to literally anyone. But at a very young age, my family went through one of the hardest seasons of our lives. And in this season, it felt just like this. Where it felt like death, it felt lonely, it felt dark, it felt cold. And during this season, I questioned God. God, do you even exist? God, if you were that good, why would you allow me, my family, to go through this? And God has used Psalm 23, more specifically the last phrase that I'm going to read right now, to bring me back to himself. It was the very thing that kept me moving. It was the very thing that said, My miracle is not in the past, it's in the future. I'm going to read this to you, and this is the phrase that stuck with me. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's it. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, saying God is not just hosting me in this world, but he's making a place for me. He's preparing a place for me and for you. You see, where pain, where struggle, where tears will be wiped away, the former things of this world will no longer exist. The pain is temporal. And let me read this to you. It's in Revelation chapter 19. It gives us a sneak peek as to what heaven will look like. Here we go. Revelation 21, sorry. And this is what the Bible tells us. This is heaven right here. And behold, the tabernacle of the Lord was with me, and he dwelt with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be their God. Again, God is with us. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said, it is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That sounds a lot like Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hold on to that truth, that he is our shepherd. He is that good. Yeah? All right, let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for your love. And really, it's as we took a moment to not focus on us, but focus on you and look up. Jesus, I pray right now for anyone and everyone who perhaps is going through a hard season in life, would you comfort them just as your word tells us? Would you let them know that you are there with them, that they don't have to do this life alone, that it's not about what they can do for you, but it's all about what you've done for us. It's all about living and dwelling in your love. It's about slowing down and letting your grace and your love catch up to us. Because that's true. Your love and your goodness follow us and chase us all the days of our life. And Jesus, I pray for perhaps those who have been going through this want, get, move life. Would we come to realize that everything we've ever been looking for is really found in you? That you lead us to this pasture. You lead us to this place where we say, this is where I want to be the rest of my life. Jesus, we thank you because you are good. We thank you for your death on the cross to pay the payment of our sin. Thank you for the resurrection, because in your resurrection you loved us enough so that in this resurrection you give us a hope, you give us a future. And Jesus, I pray that we may as a church step into that. Jesus, we love you. If you guys believe that, why don't we stand and we're going to sing this last song. And as they sing this song, we have communion. And really, communion is this moment of looking up. It's this moment of remembering. It's this moment of saying, this is the Lord's table. Yes, I'm going through hard moments of my life. Yes, life is not all pretty and good. But right now, we're going to take a moment and look up and say, Jesus, I thank you so much that although maybe I'm in a valley, you are with me. and you're going to prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So we have communion set in your right-hand side and behind you. And as our worship leads a song, you take communion on your own time. Whenever you're ready, go get communion. Reflect on all that God has done for you. Reflect and remind yourself that God is with you. And whenever you're ready, go ahead and take communion. And as we come to a close, Gilbert is going to come up and he's going to pray us out. But I invite you to the Lord's table. It's set up on your right and on your back. Let's do it.